Hello and welcome to episode number 87 of the Know Your Physio podcast. I'm your host, Andres Brochelle, helping you discover your science to optimize your life. And today we have a montage of interviews that I did at the Health Optimization Conference in London, which was just such an immense pleasure to be at. Huge shout out to my co-founders, Bulza and Linda from Dream with a Y Health, Dream Health, where I'm founding member, head of coaching and education. We help high performers, leaders, and executives take their performance and health from silver to gold. So huge shout out. Thank you guys for flying me out. And huge shout out to Steve, my co-founder at Know Your Physio, the brains behind Dream Health, for making it over there. Finally had a chance to meet him in person after 2 years of working together online. And then huge shout out to Tim Gray and the team at the Health Optimization Conference for the incredible event. I mean, wow. I had the chance to meet some of the most amazing people, finally, after loving and admiring their work for years and years online. Had the chance to dig into some of the best and latest technologies, products, supplements ever, which was really cool. Did all kinds of biohacks, and really, most importantly, had the chance to enjoy the amazing city of London with like-minded people, which is a dream come true on so many levels. No pun intended with the previous mention of Dream Health. But yeah, dream come true. So thanks to everyone. And then on this podcast, we've got a compilation of interviews with Max Lugavere, Jim Quick, Chris, one of the founders and scientific leaders at MitoPure, Wade Lightheart from Bioptimizers, our official podcast sponsors, Lucas Aoun from Ergogenic Health / Booster Biology, and Solbra. So nice little compilation for you guys. Should be a fun episode for you. And you can certainly expect me to do full-length interviews with all of the guests that we had on here today. Let me know if you have any questions for them on future episodes. You can submit them via email, andres@knowyourphysio.org, or via Instagram DMs at Andres, A-N-D-R-E-S, Preschel, P-R-E-S-C-H-E-L. Anyway, that's all for now. Hope you guys enjoy, and I'll see you on the other side. Being a working professional is not for the faint of heart, even if you're doing what you love every single day, like I get to do, doing the podcast, the coaching, creating scientific content, writing articles, collaborating with some of my favorite brands. Believe me, that's a dream in a lot of ways, and I'm sure that's the case for a lot of you, or you guys are taking the steps towards that kind of lifestyle and professional life. But let me tell you that it's extremely, extremely challenging, and it's not always fun. But it's the hard work that is typically the important work. But nevertheless, that stress does contribute to a number of deficiencies, one of the primary deficiencies being magnesium. Like I said, there's a lot of stress involved in the daily grind. And if you're not careful, that stress can start to take a toll on your body, not only draining you of that vital energy, but making you magnesium deficient. And this deficiency can lead to higher levels of anxiety, irritability, trouble sleeping, and low energy. It can even contribute to muscle cramps. That's why I recommend you supplement with magnesium daily. I did a whole podcast on this with Wade Lightheart, episode number 56. And you can experience a number of positive health benefits just from getting enough magnesium, including better sleep, more energy, healthy blood pressure, less irritability, stronger bones, reduced muscle cramping, even fewer migraines. But to experience these health benefits, you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. There's actually 7 unique forms, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress-relieving benefits. That's why I only, and I do mean only, recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic, full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes all 7 forms of magnesium in one bottle. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, you can go to www.magbreakthrough.com/Andres for easy access. I will include this in the show notes. All you have to do is click to make your order. In addition to the discount you get by using promo code Andres, that's A-N-D-R-E-S, you can unlock special gifts with purchase with retail values of at least $20. This is a limited time offer for select orders, so go to magbreakthrough.com/Andres right now, and I hope that you guys enjoy these amazing, amazing benefits. All right, so we're here with Lucas, Ergogenic Health, Boost Your Biology now, right? Did you rebrand officially?
Yeah, fully rebranded over to Boost Your Biology.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
Similar names, but Know Your Physio, Boost Your Biology. You can tell we're in the same space, huh?
Yeah, very similar niche.
Yeah. So tell me, my friend, why are you here?
I'm here to meet like-minded people and also connect with other biohackers and health coaches and, yeah, really see what's on the radar. And yeah, really connect with other people, because it's one thing to do things online, but then face to face is a lot better.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. How would you personally define health optimization?
For me, I'd say health optimization is encompassing all elements of one's health, just really dialing in each organ system. So focusing on liver health, kidney health, gut health.
Not independently, I imagine.
Independently.
In a way, you can, right?
But to a degree, yeah. So yeah, pretty much just encompassing different elements of health. That's pretty much that.
And what do you think it takes to make health optimization more accessible to people? Do you think that it has to be something exclusive and hard to get your hands on?
I think we need to just try and make things easier for the general population. I feel like a lot of people think that optimizing your health has to be complicated or difficult, but really our job as like health coaches should be to try and make things easier for people to implement.
Right.
Because people are always looking for that shortcut. They want things quickly.
Right.
So like trying to make things easier. Yeah.
And we are all about boosting our biology, about knowing your physiology. What do you think everyone needs to know about their physiology/biology to set the foundation where this feels intuitive and easy to achieve optimal health? What do you think everyone has to know about their biology and physiology?
I'd say like just to focus on the 80-20. So like focusing on the core pillars. And then after that, once you've dialed in like the basics and built like positive habits and routines, each day maybe adding one small change to your routine or one micro change, and then basically stacking those up to see greater change in the long run.
What are some stacks that the average person can take on to see reasonable improvements in their health and well-being and maybe performance?
For performance, I'd say honestly the biggest one is to optimize insulin sensitivity. So that can be through carb cycling or carb backloading, which I'm a big fan of. I know Ben was talking about that he has like 200 grams of carbs.
And later in the day for the serotonin and eventually melatonin, get good sleep, recharge, replenish your glycogen overnight. Yeah,
yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I think we need the carbohydrates to fuel the thyroid to help with the conversion of T4 to T3. And the more T3 we have, the better our mitochondrial function is. So, and we're all about mitochondrial function is the pinnacle of energy.
Yep.
So anything that we can do to optimize mitochondria is essential.
Right. I was telling you on the podcast that we did that I was chronically under-consuming carbs. So my sex hormone binding globulin went up, my testosterone went down, and I just felt like I had something was wrong with me because my energy just wasn't there, right? And I love that there's really good science now online about how to keep your glucose stable. You know, we're close with the glucose goddess. We love her work. But how do we find a good relationship between monitoring our carb intake while also getting the energy that we need to perform at our highest and feel our best?
Yeah, well, this ultimately comes back to taking a look at blood work. So getting blood tests done every 6 months or so, and just keeping an eye on that one marker, which is the fasting insulin. As long as that fasting insulin is just below 5, and if you're having, let's say, 400, 500 grams of carbs a day, but your fasting insulin is less than 5, then I would say that your body is actually able to cope absolutely fine with a high carb diet. If you start to see the fasting insulin go like 7, 8, 9, then you know that something's a little bit off and your body may not tolerate like a super high carb diet.
Right.
Yeah.
And last question for you here is, what's on the horizon right now, something that's exciting to you that you haven't mentioned elsewhere that our listeners can get the inside scoop on?
I'd say the new molecule, dileucine.
Dileucine.
Dileucine, which is a... this will be the first time I mention this on camera.
Cool.
Dileucine peptide, which will be a novel version of leucine that can stimulate mTOR like 40% more effectively than leucine itself. So it's going to be...
So more gains.
More gains, man. More gains.
That's all we care about is more gains, right?
Yeah.
But more gains at the expense of what?
Well, since it won't be depleting hormones or affecting hormones.
Like, it's not going to make you age more quickly?
Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
I mean, if you're getting good muscle on your body, right, like even if you are aging through some mechanism, the muscle that you're getting and the quality of life that you're getting by training for that muscle maybe accounts or compensates for it. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's where like there's always that trade-off between performance versus like longevity. So then maybe if you use dileucine in the morning, then you take your AMPK stimulators in the evening.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Enough said. Yeah. And how did you discover this and why is it so novel?
So I wasn't the original discoverer. Sean Wells is the...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes, he's
yeah.
pioneered that.
Master supplement formulator. Yeah, is he here?
I don't think he's at the conference.
Okay.
But he's he'll be at the one in Amsterdam, so...
Oh, cool. Very cool.
That's an exciting ingredient. And then also the next one's that paraxanthine.
Okay.
So paraxanthine is going to be that caffeine metabolite, which will be really good for, like, energy focus, which is a massive market. Like, everyone wants more energy and better focus. So.
And what about theacrine? What's that?
I'm a big fan of theacrine. Theacrine is similar to caffeine, just got a much longer half-life and a slower onset.
Is it like, so it was the effect similar to something like a matcha green tea or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, more of a smoother energy versus, whereas a caffeine is a more rapid climb. So.
And does it do anything on the long term? Like, you know, if you have the short term benefits of energy and productivity and focus, does it do anything for neuroplasticity, for CREB and BDNF, anything like that?
There's a pretty good chance that it also has BDNF boosting effects, but it also has analgesic properties as well. So it can actually reduce pain and actually lower inflammation.
Wow.
Which is another nice little side benefit.
They're very cool.
Yeah.
What are you on right now?
I took a massive cocktail this morning of...
I was going to say, not an alcohol cocktail.
No, okay. No, a big cocktail of supplements.
Okay, what are they?
So I took Fidogia, Agrestis, testosterone booster. I took St. John's wort.
Okay.
Artichoke extract, taurine, tuka, nice. And just a coffee. So that's pretty
nice.
Much it.
And just a coffee.
Yeah.
Organic?
Organic, yeah.
Okay, cool. Very cool. All right, well, I have some hop A for us in my bag here for the party later if you're going to be there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hop A oxytocin, neuro CBG.
Sick.
Ben Greenfield gave it to me.
Oh, sick.
So we'll have some fun later.
Sick,
awesome. Dude, it's Sounds been a good. Pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Cheers.
So this is mastic gum. So this is the resin from a Greek bush. So they just make these little cuts.
Wait, hold on. Are we talking about trees or women?
A Greek bush? No, I don't know anything about that kind of bush, but... This is a tree, they kind of score the sides of it, and then the sap leaks out. And it makes these golden droplets. Super incredible. It's the natural chewing gum.
What's it taste like?
Pine.
It has like a pine taste.
I actually found mastic ice cream.
Chew carefully
until
it breaks up, and then let it kind of mellow out a little bit.
Yeah.
So it cleans your teeth. It's antibacterial, antimicrobial, settles the stomach. If you've got an upset stomach, you can chew some of this, and it'll go away. But yeah, I mean, I don't chew any other gum. Most other gums are full of microplastics and artificial sweeteners and everything like that, so.
Wow, it actually blends together like a secret to a ripped up jawline, like so.
Oh yeah, so it's kind of like weights for your jaw as well. So if you chew like increasingly larger amounts, the masseter is a muscle just like anything else. If you load it with an increased weight, then you get more of a jawline as well. So that's, and it makes chewing food easier because your jaw's stronger. Really, really great. I love mastic gum.
So if you guys can't already tell, we're here with Sobra.
Hello.
At the Health Optimization Conference in London. And I have a couple of questions for you, my man. So,
of course.
First and foremost, why are you here?
Why am I here? Well, primarily to meet my friend Matt with Ra Optics. We were just in London at the same time. And then also to support my friend Tim Gray. He's obviously set this whole thing up. We had a podcast together last year sometime. And I just love being around people like this, bumping people like you. It's just a great opportunity to come and meet people and learn what people are doing in the health space. And I also love London as well. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's great to be here with you, man. Great to meet you, too. I recognize you not by your face, but by the tan calves and the and the sun emblem everywhere.
Gives me away.
And let me ask you something. As far as health optimization goes, what's your definition of health optimization?
Okay, so there's two parts to that question. There's health. What is health? Health is being able to physically move, feel great in any situation, and have the energy, spiritual energy, mental energy, physical energy, to achieve what you want to and fulfill all your responsibilities in life, but also be happy doing it. So it's not a grind. And I think that has a lot to do with achievement in life. It's like you have a healthy system, vessel, mind, then all of that will be optimized when you're doing the things, you're in the right environments, and you're also acting in alignment with what your true self is and how you feel. So health would be all of those qualities and optimized in the sense that it almost becomes a backdrop. It's not your focus. Your focus can then become what you want to achieve in life once your health is settled and optimized. And that would be health optimization, I think.
Right. So it's sort of like in the beginning for a lot of people, it can be an effort, relative effort that you have to make, but you lay a foundation from which it becomes easy, natural, intuitive, conscious, and then from there you can start to build up towards anything that you want to do specifically regards to what you define as success, as ambition, as achievement, right? So it kind of lays the foundation. And let me ask you to bridge that with the next question. What do you believe everyone needs to know about their physiology in order to build that foundation and achieve what they want to achieve and live a happy, fulfilled life?
So I think it's a lot simpler than people realize. First of all, it's more of a question of subtraction and removing all the things that are making us ill, making us sick, and the habits that we go through that in our environment or through actions of ourselves that make us ill, make us sick, and allow that health to kind of be limited. So do you need to know the ins and outs of the physiology? Not necessarily. For your own informational purposes, you can understand, okay, how does sunlight affect my mitochondria and enable them to produce more energy and therefore be healthier in general? That's good to know. And so, but even myself, I don't have this like super granular scientific approach to everything. It's like, what's the summary? What's the 80-20 principle of, okay, I should be getting more sunlight.
Right.
I need to be getting outside and I need to be avoiding blue light in all of its forms as much as possible.
Right.
So there's that physiology aside. Okay, what are the biggest rocks? Your sleep needs to be on point. You need to be getting outside as much as possible, minimize blue light, environmental toxins, plastics is prevalent in everything that we do nowadays in the modern world. But as far as getting back to the natural world, getting outside, grounding, natural foods, whole foods, as local to your environment as possible. If you hit all those on the head, and then also you're acting in alignment with what your true destiny is, like, because a lot of our physical health problems can be a result of our mental and emotional issues, mindset problems that are fear that then manifests as physical conditions and pain. Is there a structural issue? Is there something environment that's making us sick? Sometimes, for sure. But a lot of the time it's because we're acting in a way, maybe it's a relationship, a job, just the place that we're in, it feels bad. And if you feel bad all the time and you have this mental block that you know you're not doing what you should be, and this can be like not fulfilling your promises to yourself and not being able to speak honestly and truthfully, all of that can make you sick more than the plastics or whatever else can. So it's super deep analyzing, am I living in alignment with myself and what I truly believe? Because if you don't, then there's no health optimization that you can do that will overcome that.
Right, that's very wonderfully said. And my follow-up question for you is, do you believe that between individuals, there has to be different truths and ways to see the evidence, if you will, that getting in touch with ancestral living is going to help us be better, feel better, perform higher in this modern day? So like there's a spectrum, right? Like some people believe in science, some people believe in intuition, right?
Right.
But regardless of what you believe, what do you think everyone needs to do to appreciate this ancestral approach in the modern day?
Yeah, so it is very simple. If something makes you feel better and listening to how your body feels and performs, then that's a good thing. And it doesn't matter if a scientific study says the opposite. Oh, this is bad for you. Red meat is bad for you. Eggs are bad for you. It's like, well, when I eat red meat and eggs, I feel incredible. I recover better. Intuitively, I feel stronger. It's like, that's what you trust. That's the truth. And I would say I'm more anti-science than science in my baseline beliefs, but I still recognize that they are helpful to prove what you really kind of already know. And the people that talk about these things, if they don't look healthy, that is the evidence. With doctors, with influencers, with anyone, if they don't look healthy, then I'm not going to take anything they say, even if what they say is like, oh, it's based in science and fact and rationale. It's like, well, then why isn't it working for you in real life? Or maybe it does work, but you're not practicing it and you're not actually sticking true to it. So which case, I'm not going to take your advice either. And that can be expanded to not just the health world, financials, like, are you rich? Okay, maybe I'll listen to you about money rather than someone that's just trying to, you know, hoodwink you and sell you something. So do you have a good relationship? Well, maybe I'll listen to you about relationship advice. Do you seem confident in social situations? Okay, I'm going to see how your energy is and things like that. And by their fruits, you shall know them. It's that Bible quote. It's like, if someone looks healthy, you feel good around them, they've got good vibes, then that intuitive sense is going to tell you way more than like, oh, Dr. Dusseldorf in whatever university said that we should all drink soy milk for the planet.
Did you make that name up on the spot?
Dusseldorf is a place. I kind of mixed that. I think Dusseldorf is a good university. So no hate to Dusseldorf. That just sounded funny in the moment.
And is there anything on the horizon that you want to share with our listeners that they may not see or find elsewhere from you online? Anything that's exciting that you want to mention here on the show?
Yeah, so I've got a book coming out. It's in progress. I don't know when it will be finished, but I'm hoping by the end of summer this year, be finishing it and doing finishing touches in the next few months. But it's going to be a collection of my writings so far that people may be familiar with. But also, I wanted to create it so I can give it to a young kid and say, hey, man, this will help you succeed in life. From everything that I know from health, spirituality, how the universe works, I wanted to distill it into some level of ideology that will help anyone that reads it. So that's what I wanted to do, and people can take a look for that in the coming months.
That's amazing, man. Something that I've always admired about you is your ability to write, to inspire, and just the depth of wisdom that you can put on an Instagram caption. And my question here is, what's typically required, let's say, in your environment and your routine to find that clarity and to bring those thoughts onto an Instagram caption? Like what do you do to prepare the environment to bring that wisdom to life?
So I would hesitate to put any limiting blocks on it. There is no environmental routine things that you need to have for creative information to flow through you from God. If you put limits on it, oh, I need this environment, then you limit yourself. I've written Instagram captions in my normal routine in the morning in my specified work period, but then also I've written them in the back of a taxi after a 16-hour flight. So
when it comes, it comes.
When it comes, it comes. Like it can be firing out a tweet, and then that tweet is marinating in my head, and I expand on it later. But in the general routine of things, like just getting good sleep, good food, good sunlight, all of that allows you and your body to kind of settle into the background and stop becoming a roadblock to this creative flow. And then understanding you do need to show up with regularity and at least try to write. And because I have done that every day for years and years now, it's a lot easier for me to tap into and be, okay, what is there coming out now? And sometimes it doesn't come out. And that is a sign that you need to go live life more and be in the real world and have experiences, which then will jog new ideas and things like that. So,
very well said. My man, I can't thank you enough for this. This is super special.
You're welcome. Thanks, man.
Really appreciate you. And hopefully in the near future, we can have you on the podcast for real and dive deep on one of these topics and make sure that we share this wonderful knowledge and information with our listeners.
So, sounds good, man.
Thanks so much, bro. So I'm here with Max Lugavere. How are you doing, Max? How are you feeling?
What up?
In London at the Health Optimization Conference. Great to run into you.
Same.
Yeah. So a couple questions for you. Number one, why are you here?
Well, I'm going to be giving a talk on the latest and greatest research as it pertains to how to protect our brains.
Okay.
And not just protect our brains, but optimize our brains. Because I think for young people, even myself, you know, like the idea of neurodegeneration is like a bit of an abstract, esoteric concept. And so I like to always wrap, because that is a topic that I'm very passionate about, nonetheless. I like to sort of like Trojan horse it through what the current evidence says about how to optimize the way that our brains work in the here and now, because that is very important too.
Right.
So, yeah, so I'll be giving a talk. Super excited.
Awesome. And what's your definition of health optimization?
I just think it's doing the best that you can. Acquiring as much information as you can about your own health and about healthy living, what the science says, but also thinking more broadly about ancestral ways of living and kind of how we got here to the point where so many people around the world are struggling with chronic illness, and doing your best to reconcile all that information and taking action and doing the best you can, not letting perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, I think a lot of people, especially in wellness, strive towards this ideal of perfection. You know, you see these people on the internet with millions of dollars in the bank, taking hundreds of supplements a day, and we think that that's something that we ought to aspire to. But at the right. end of the day, the low-hanging fruit is often ignored by most people, and that's really where most people will see the most benefit.
Right, know? And this speaks to the subjectivity of optimal health as well, right?
Yeah.
So it's based on your DNA, your environment, your standards, whatever you can manage. So it's not like there's a perfect standard. It's like, what's the best that you can do to live a healthy life?
Exactly, yeah. And there's like obviously some like take-home salient empirical truths about what it means to eat healthily. Avoid ultra-processed foods as best you can, but an optimized diet is going to look different for everybody. An optimized exercise routine is going to look different for everybody. An optimized sleep routine. So, you know, it's like across the board, everybody's different. There's no one-size-fits-all approach
right.
to this endeavor. So that's kind of what I aspire to get across now, I think, more than ever before in my career.
And you've already answered this question now on multiple counts, but what do you believe everyone needs to know about their physiology? And if you were to see this from the perspective of like laying the foundation so that everything that you share makes sense and it's understood almost viscerally.
I think that a lot of people like to blame their health situation on genes and age and other factors, factors beyond their control. But the reality is that most people have way more control than they would like to acknowledge, because it puts the ball in your court, and that's a lot of responsibility for most people. Obviously, once you're sick, there's a lot less to work with, but when you're healthy, I mean, that's the time to really act. JFK once said, the time to fix the roof is when the sun is shining. And so, you know, like, there's just a lot of things that people can do every day. You're generally not going to be obese because of your genetics. You know, age doesn't really play a major role. Like, our metabolisms are pretty static from age 20 to 60. So, you know, just a lot of that. Like, there's a lot of victim mindset today, and I just think that that's a big shame.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And last question, is there anything that you're excited about that you haven't mentioned elsewhere that you want our listeners to know?
Oh, man. I love Miami. So it's cool to be interviewed by somebody who lives there.
Yeah.
And filmed by somebody who lives there. It's a dope-ass city. And I just wish there was more of like a wellness community there. Yeah. I guess it's growing.
Yeah, you have to look for it. Miami can be pretentious. It can be a little superficial, but there is a wellness community there that is very special. And next time you're there, we'd love to introduce you.
Love it.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Awesome, man. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Chris from MitoPure at the Health Optimization Conference in London. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Andrew.
Yeah, my pleasure. So why don't we start with your why? Why are you here, and what is MitoPure all about?
We're here because this is really a great group of people who are really in tune with their health, and we're trying to share the science behind MitoPure with them. People are here are really interested in optimizing every aspect of their health, the functioning of their cells, and that's what we're all about. And so this is really the place for us to be.
And how does your product, platform, service, content even, how does it fit in to the optimal health movement?
Well, we've developed an active ingredient called MitoPure, which is urolithin A, and then subsequently a consumer brand called Timeline. And MitoPure is really acting at the level of your cells to optimize your cellular function by improving your mitochondrial function, by stimulating a recycling of the damaged mitochondria, and basically improving the energy levels that your cells can produce. And so keeping your cells at their peak energy throughout your life by taking this in whatever time of your life. So it's not targeting people who are older, but it's targeting people, you know, of all ages.
So it's going to improve the quality of life through cellular repair.
Correct, yes.
And so it's not a magic pill, of course.
No.
What are some lifestyle therapies that work synergistically with this, and by what degree will they improve the benefits rather than just taking it in isolation?
Well, we've run a lot of clinical studies, and you're right, it's not a magic pill. You need to take it for a while. So our minimum length study has been 28 days, and we've seen that that improves mitochondrial function. When we've looked at muscle biopsies, and we can see improved gene expression of mitochondria. But also, we've looked longer, and we've improved strength, and we've also seen improved endurance after as little as 2 months. And recently, we did a clinical study that we, in more elite and sub-elite athletes, for a period of 28 days, and we saw an improvement in recovery post endurance studies after a 3 kilometer run, for example.
Right, and this is a systemic benefit. It's not targeted, it's all the mitochondria in your body will see as some kind of benefit.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's also why we've started looking at muscle function as the core, and then, you know, now we see mitochondria function as a core for all of our health benefits. So we'll be extending and expanding our product line for all of the major health benefits. And one of the first ones that we've begun is skin health. Skin is our largest organ of our body. It contains a lot of mitochondria, and it's exposed constantly to the elements, and so it's very important for us to think about that, and that's why we developed the skin health product.
Right, it's like one of the first lines of defense for the surrounding environment, and you know, it's unbelievable. People will exercise, they'll eat right, but then they take a shower and the water isn't filtered, or they lather on sunscreen that has actually carcinogenic ingredients, or they expose themselves to just poor air quality. So it's like, it's often overlooked, but it serves a key role detoxifying and in supporting the rest of the body. So what's your targeted approach for the mitochondria in the skin?
So what we've done, we've run now a number of clinical studies on MitoPure for the skin and also the finished products.
So like a lotion or?
So we have a day cream, we have a night cream, and we have a serum. And the studies that we've run, we've looked at both what they call intrinsic aging, so just the fundamental aging of your cells. And also we've looked at the impact on extrinsic aging, so exposure after UV light. And we've shown that following exposure by UV light, and if you apply that to your skin afterwards, that you reduce the inflammation that's caused. And also we see that in terms of the intrinsic aging, we see effects at the cellular level when it comes to collagen and collagen degradation and the genes that are associated with proteins that are involved in collagen maintenance. It's pro-activity in that way. And also we're seeing that we have a reduction in wrinkles, and it's not just a water effect, but it's more of a sort of a structural effect.
Right, so now all of a sudden the internal benefits are reflected externally. You really get everything. You get the full spectrum approach to looking and feeling healthy.
Well, that's the idea. We want to have a product. We want to offer our customers products that help them from the inside out. Cool. And then we want to offer the same type of benefits topically so people can have all those sort of holistic approach to aging.
And what is actually, I know you're a co-founder and you work intimately with the science. You have a science background. What is the mechanism of action between this ingredient and the mitochondria themselves?
So urolithin A is acting on the mitochondria by stimulating this process called mitophagy. Mitophagy is a process that's normally involved in sort of cellular maintenance of mitochondria. So as the cells and as the mitochondria are producing energy, they get damaged and they need to naturally be recycled. So there is the process of mitophagy constantly going on in our cells. That's stimulated also by sports, so by regularly being active. It's also stimulated by fasting. But today, the only nutritional products that are known to stimulate mitophagy and improve mitochondrial function is urolithin A.
Okay. And last question for you here, what's your definition of optimal health?
Optimal health is sort of is holistic health. It comes from a number of parameters, keeping a healthy lifestyle, healthy eating, being active, and of course, watching your mitochondria function and taking timeline.
Right. And what do you believe everyone should know about their physiology in order to achieve optimal health?
I think people should be monitoring themselves and how they feel and actually being very thoughtful about exercise and diet and sort of how they all interact together. And by doing this, I think people can keep themselves feeling optimal and then supplementing their diet as needed with the appropriate nutrients.
Is there any way to measure your mitochondrial health?
There are different biomarkers that are rather sophisticated that you can do. I mean, many of our studies, we've looked at that more at gene expression level and inside of tissues, and you can see that there's not a single one measurement that's sort of a mitochondria, a specific mitochondria biomarker, but you look at sort of an ensemble of different outputs.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much, Chris.
So much.
Really appreciate you. Yeah.
And
looking forward to trying your product at some point.
Okay.
Awesome.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you guys. You too. All right. Here with Jim Quick. I get the chance to see you, if I'm lucky, in most of these conferences. And you're always very busy, but always very present and very absorbed with any engagement that you have. And I've always admired you for that.
Thank you.
Your ability to retain information and all the details, the fine details and the things that you're learning. And so one of my first questions for you here is, what is your definition of health optimization, and how has that definition and that understanding appreciation of for health brought you here?
So optimization almost for me is synonymous with the word limitless, the title of my book. It's not about being perfect. It's about advancing and progressing beyond what you're currently demonstrating or think is even possible, or even above and beyond what you believe you even deserve. It's about this idea that it's not necessarily about perfection, it's about progress, that everything in nature, it grows if it's green, or if it's brown, it tends to rot. And I feel like if we're not growing, then we're sliding. Yeah.
And do you believe, in a way, as a high performer, that you have to conserve your attention, your energy for the things that matter? Do you think that if we are genuinely limitless, that we can just absorb anything? For example, if you engaged with 10 versions of me, could you still give the same quality presentation on a stage 30 minutes later?
Yeah, I think part of it is our standard. I think we underestimate how much energy we have, how much intention we have, how much capabilities that we have. So I feel like we could always thrive to be present. Obviously, none of us are perfect, and some things might feel like it is in a limited quantity in terms of your focus, your attention, your level of motivation, your energy. And I also think people grossly underestimate how they could show up in the world, how there are simple things that people could do to be more present, to improve their focus, to improve their memory. But certainly over time, without sleeping, you're going to diminish in some kind of respects without taking care of yourself. You know, my philosophy over life is always I reach and then I restore and then I rest and then I repeat, right? So I reach, I stretch, but you can't be stretching all the time. Even the human brain is not meant to go at full capacity, just like a car isn't. It needs time to have its pit stop and restore, recover, you know, do the things, get grounded, get fresh air, get some hydration, be around community, things that are, don't even some necessarily cost anything but your time. And then sleep and then go back to it.
And in order to become limitless and unleash, turn over the stones that reveal our most tremendous potential, what do you believe everyone needs to know about their physiology?
Yeah, I mean, our physiology definitely affects our psychology. There is a mind-body connection, but there's certainly a body-mind connection. And I think if people want to improve, a lot of people say they lack confidence in themselves or self-esteem. I think if they studied their physiology and their neurology, they would improve their self-esteem overnight. I mean, we are these incredible gifted creatures. I feel like life is a lottery we already won. And I think complaint is poverty. I think gratitude is riches. And so our physiology affects everything. You know, affects our state, how we feel, and how we feel determines what things mean to us. It determines how we're going to behave. It determines the results we get in our life. And those results create our experience, which in turn, you know, affects our psychology and our physiology.
And I know we're both having a great time here, but what kind of impression do you think this leaves on folks who see health optimization as something that's exclusive? How accessible is health optimization really?
Yeah, I mean, there's a quote in my book, Limitless, that says, life is the letter C between B and D, where B is birth, D is death, life C is choice. And I'm saying that we all come in with different circumstances, right? We all have a different level of connections, a different level of education, a different level of income, and so on. And I also feel like at any time we control three things, and life is important to control the controllables. We can control our mindset. You could say like, oh, I don't have this or access this, or maybe you could think that it's not a matter of the resources to do all these fancy things. Maybe it's a matter of my resourcefulness. You know, I met with one person here who happens to be one of our students, and she was like, you know, I didn't know how I could be here, but I was really committed. Like, you know, why can't I go? And then she changed the question. It's like, how can I make this possible? After listening to one of our videos, reminded them. And then they saw on the thing that they could crew and volunteer. And now that it allowed them to be here and experience some of the talks and some of the lessons that are here also as well. As fancy as all the biohacking stuff is here, I think a lot of the biohacking is there to imitate nature. And nature is free. Right? A lot of this stuff, the breathing devices remind you to do your own breath work. You know, a lot of the air purifying, breath work, hydrating, you know, which costs nothing. Getting a lot of the PMF and everything else here, while it's nice and convenient and powerful technology, taking off your shoes and going for a walk out in nature, getting grounded to the earth. So I just feel like it's not necessarily the problem is the problem. Often the problem is our attitude and our assumptions about the problem. And if we look at through that lens, I think that there's more possibility and potential for all of us.
And of all the amazing things that are here, I know that you're here, I mean, multiple times throughout the year, right? And all these amazing conferences and events. What's one thing that you learned in this conference so far that you hadn't learned elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I come to the event for the same thing other people come to. They come for the content or they come for the connections. And so being here and in the game, a lot of people I met here, our students and our podcast listeners, our readers, it was hard for them to be here. They had to travel. They had to take time away from family. They had to invest some money in everything. And I feel like we could either optimize that for optimizing, you know, the return and the opportunity. I feel at any given time, there's opportunity around us that if we're just looking and asking the right questions, having the right attitude, being open-minded, because our mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. But for me, the highlight, honestly, for me, is the individuals that I've met. Proximity, there's a lot to say about proximity living in a digital world. And just being around people, hearing their stories, especially those of our students, that's always the greatest gift. Certainly, there's cutting-edge science that's here. Certainly, there's resources that I've never been exposed to before. but that pales in comparison to catching up with people that I love to connect with.
I first learned about you at a medical sort of conference for high school students years back. That's when I read your book. And one line that stuck with me there that's changed my life forever, and it's the reason why we're having this conversation now, is you have to have the curiosity to get to know yourself and the courage to be yourself.
I remember that.
And what I'm wondering is that enough to change the trajectory of anyone's lives? Or do you think that I was just vulnerable and maybe just so fulfilled in that moment that that stuck with me? Or do you think that's something that anyone can apply to, you know, live a better life that's more fulfilling?
Yeah, I think a lot of people could meditate on one word and they could get deeper meaning and fulfillment from that. So I feel like we're meaning creatures. For me, I really do believe to be fulfilled, I want to be able to know who I am, because I think all of us want to belong and all of us want to stand out. And it's nice to know what we have in common with so many other people. And it's also nice to know a little bit about how we are individuals also as well. What traits, what strengths, what passions, you know, which make us different than everything else. That's, you know, we're not a carbon copy of anybody. I think it's important to have mentors and coaches and friends and peers that hold us to a high standard. And I also think that this is a journey of self-discovery. And I think while people go out in space or go out and tread new lands, I feel like a lot of it is the inner journey of ourselves, the things that we grow from, whether it's owning a business or being a parent, being a good friend, being a good human. But then also, as people discover who they are, I think it's very important, right, to have the boldness and the courage to be that person. Because I find that a lot of people do the inner work and they journal, they go to therapy, or they get to know themselves, but they don't have the wherewithal to be that person that they know that they are. Maybe they date somebody or they don't because they're concerned how other people think about it. They're those notions. Or they pursued a career because their parents really insisted and expected them to do that, but it wasn't their true nature.
And last question for you here is, what's one of your favorite failures?
My favorite failures?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that we win or we learn. And so from those failures and those mistakes, they're stepping stones to something greater. I think there's no such thing as necessarily as failure as there is feedback. And if I learned something, then I didn't fail. But as long as I am curious enough to find where's the gift in this, where's the lesson in this, because life has a whole lot of lessons for us. And it's not like school. In school, they teach you the lesson and then you're given the test. Often in life, it's the opposite. We're given the test and then we get that lesson. But I constantly learn every single day.
What's an example that is fresh in your head, something that would otherwise be seen as a failure that you use constructively to learn and become better?
Yeah, my book launch, you know, when it came out, I feel like we, beyond certain things that we had control over, the book came out in April of 2020. It was the start of the pandemic. I had 34 speaking engagements to promote it. Every single one was canceled. I had nationwide book tour canceled. I had national media canceled. And so the book came in, did well. But we have another book coming out in the fall, and I want a second shot at this. You know, and I learned from those lessons, and now we're just better prepared.
Amazing.
Know? Yeah.
And what's the name of the book?
We haven't released it yet, but it'll be in the spirit of Limitless.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome. Jim, what an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Wade Lightheart with Bioptimizers. It's a pleasure to see you again in the flesh.
Great to be here.
Last time we saw each other was in Orlando at the Biohacking Congress, which I'll actually be in a few days from now.
Going there next week myself.
Oh, there you go. Awesome. So, and I'm all sweaty. Got done with the Carol bike. Got a good workout. So feeling good. I got the BDNF and the blood flow going. So Wade, why are we here? Why are you here? And what's your definition of health optimization?
Sure. Well, we're here to expand the mission that we set out, and that's to end physical suffering and activate what we call biologically optimized health. So for my entire life, first as an athlete, I was into performance side, and now I'm into the longevity and health side. And so we built our company to kind of support that over the last two decades, and we're continuing to advance that. We're supporting our partners, our distribution partners here in the UK, and also an opportunity to see the latest stuff in biohacking, biological optimization, all that.
Awesome. And how would you personally define optimal health?
Yeah, great question. So I would consider it that the body's capabilities are operating in full functionality with all of the right ingredients, elements, flowing in optimal qualities and quantities.
Okay.
So it's a moving target. It's the highest ideal of self-actualization of physiological potential. And I don't believe that we have a fully formed example of what that potential actually is.
Besides Ben Greenfield.
Exactly. So most people are starting at sick.
Yeah.
And then they're into normal or suboptimal. Then there might be more optimal or high performance. But I think there's a level beyond, and we're striving towards that idea.
And once you approach healthiness from this perspective and you do all the right things, how do you actually measure, from a subjective perspective, how do you actually measure if you're at optimal health or actually making and orienting yourself towards optimal health?
Yeah, that's the question I've been asking myself for 20 years because, you know, we have the minimal acceptable dosage or what is keeping you from a disease state. But we haven't clearly defined what an optimal state is. There are some elements of that. We've broken down kind of that pursuit in our new book that's coming out in September. It's called The Ultimate Nutrition Bible. But I would say for the individual, the first thing they need to do is they need to let go of the dogma of nutritional tribalism. Second, they have to determine what is optimal health relative to their performance in life. So if you're dependent on cognitive performance or you're dependent on endurance performance or strength performance, and that's not just from an athletic, maybe your mom, maybe your dad, maybe whatever that thing is, that's probably the primary direction that you need to address first.
Right.
The only way that you're going to get there is to be able to do individualization tests, because although tribalistic diets and strategies or exercise forms or whatever will give you generalizations, they're not customized enough for your unique physiology. So I would say starting first, everyone should have a genetic test. And then from there, you're going to want a barrage of hormones, biological markers, so you can look at the physiological stuff, VO2 max, okay, muscle mass, bone density, range of motion on the physical side. Then you're looking at what's your hormone profile, blood test, microbiome levels, and so on and so forth. And then eventually you'll be getting into organ strength, cognitive health. You can use EEG machines, HOMO-IR tests for blood sugar response, pulse test to check out cardiovascular risk. And so for most people, we want to check out blood sugar, cardiovascular risk, okay, neurodegeneration, digestive health. By covering those elements and then looking at maybe a DEXA scan for body fat, lean body tissue, and bone density, you can start to cultivate a directional thing that'll move you more towards that, and while offsetting what maybe you might be genetically suboptimal. So you might have a predisposition for cardiovascular disease or cancer. We want to address those elements first before you would worry about maybe your VO2 max.
Right, and I think my impression and maybe the impression of a lot of folks tuning in now is that this sounds expensive, right? So is there a way to make this kind of analysis and maybe self-reflection, if you will, more accessible to
yes.
folks that want to optimize
and,
their health?
And that's one of our missions, and it's one of the reasons why we created the new book, is how does the individual go through an economic way of addressing these components? A DEXA scan, for example, will give you a snapshot of where you are right now and give you some indicators. That's going to cost you $50 to $100 in most places. We got a DNA test that's available for people for a few $100. Okay, you couldn't even get that 20 years ago. So now you get, you know, your DNA, now you know that. If you're in an industrialized country, they'll get you a continuous glucose monitor or a HOMO-IR test. So I think for about $2,000, you could do a whole panel and profile.
And it's priceless, the insights that you get and the results you can see based off those insights.
Exactly. And if you're looking at life extension, and what I say, quality of life extension, even beyond life extension. So I would say, take a look at yourself through time. And you're a community of individuals through time. You're a child, you're a teenager, you're a young adult, you're a parent, you're a grandparent. And if you can start calculating, how do I want to spend my last 10, 20 years of life now, and thinking in those terms, your contribution to both your kids and your grandkids is going to be significantly more powerful than if your life is cut short or you have a compromised living.
Right.
So when you start running through that model, what's the value of it versus the initial cost? I mean, you can certainly optimize your body for less than the price of a lease on a decent car.
Right. And you know, I think a good way to summarize what you just said, it's something that I hold very true to my heart, is extend lifespan not for the sake of more moments, but rather through the quality of the present moment, right?
That's
if you
right.
can optimize the present moment and invest in the quality of that moment, you're naturally going to live longer. It's a natural byproduct. So I think it really goes to that token of what can you do to improve your impact and how can that impact give you more life, right? Whereas a lot of people, and I think a lot of people in this room, honestly, are approaching lifestyle for the sake of, oh, I want to get to 120. But why? What's getting you there? What's powering you? And how are you sharing that with the rest of the world? How are you having an impact based off of your own pursuit to optimize your health? You know, is it a selfish thing? Or is it a selfless thing that rewards you on a personal level?
Well, that's an individual determinant. So there might be someone that's trying to live long because they have a fear of death.
Right.
There might be people who want to live long because life is so damn good they want to keep on going. And then there's another aspect, which is the mission-centric, which is where I like to fall into, which is I want to live as well as I can for as long as I can so I can continue to support the mission of helping other people. And I understand that I think many of the goals out there are relatively hyper-ambitious or salacious marketing. Right. And not that I don't think people should strive for longevity, but I'm clear that we can add to quality of life for certain if people are following this. And I'm a very big advocate of that. And maybe life extension comes with that as well.
Right. Lovely. And are these Bioptimizer condoms or some other kind of protection for
that's what we call it. Yeah, that's what we call our ultimate digestive solution. It's a combination of our best-selling enzymes, hydrochloric acid, and a very unique proteolytic probiotic. So we're giving them out here at the show so people can actually experience what having a superior form of digestive capabilities. Of course, digestive health is a big issue, and the problems are exacerbating extensively. 12% of the emergency hospital visits today are gastrointestinal related, and it's expanding. So heart attacks are about 25%, so it's half of heart attacks. And talk about a compromised living. So we're here to advocate, let people try it, experience it, and feel the power and see the difference.
Thank you. I'm going to try it out. And last question for you here. Is there anything on the horizon that you're excited about that you haven't mentioned to my listeners or to the rest of the world through some other opportunity? Anything that you're excited about that you want to share with us? Maybe give us an inside scoop?
Yeah, the Ultimate Nutrition Bible that we're launching in September of this year. We're really pumped about it because it helps eliminate dietary tribalism, helps people give a specific way they can develop what's right for them specifically, and also the obstacles. 97% of people who start a diet will actually go off it because of a variety of reasons. We identify those reasons and help people overcome it, and then direct them into whatever journey they have and what testing mechanisms they'll need in order to be able to prove the performance they're looking for. So I'm super excited about that. We just did the filming. We just did the course. It's connected to a DNA test. We've got access to all of the tests that you can just book in your own home really quickly in your local environment, get all the data you need, make the decisions, and move forward with your own customized program.
I'm very excited for that. I can't wait to tune in and maybe do a little podcast with you specifically about the book and dietary tribalism when it comes out.
Yeah. You got it.
Wade, it's been an honor. Thanks, pleasure. Always is. Yeah, thank you.
So that's all for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For all of the show notes, including clickable links to anything and everything that we discussed today, everything from discount codes to videos to research articles, books, tips, tricks, techniques, and of course, to learn more about the guest on today's episode, all you have to do is head to my website, andrespreschel.com. That's andrespreschel.com, and go to podcasts. You can also leave your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future episodes, future guests, so on and so forth. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next one. Have a lovely rest of your day.